Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. Templemore in County Tipperary is today home to the training college for An Garda Síochána, the Irish police force. But in the opening days of World War One, the barracks here came to house over 2,000 German prisoners of war. From under the college flagpoles, flapping in the brisk Tipperary wind, Sergeant John Reynolds takes up the story.
We're standing here in the front square of what's now the Garda Síochána College in Templemore. Up until 1922, it was known as Richmond Barracks, one of the largest military barracks in Ireland. There's a large parade ground, which is still used today by Garda recruits, but at the time was used by British Army recruits. And then when the Great War started, and it was decided that this would make a perfect place to house German prisoners of war because it was inland, there was a very good mainline train station from Dublin, and really if the prisoners escaped, they couldn't get too far. This camp actually had a direct connection when the first shots of the war were fired because a German ship called the Königin Luise was laying mines in the North Sea. The Königin Luise was sunk by HMS Amphion and 100 of the sailors were rescued by the Royal Navy, but on the way back to port they actually hit a mine that had been laid by the Königin Luise, a very ironic situation. About 15 of those sailors were rescued by the Navy and were brought here, so some of the men that arrived here were involved when the first shots of the war were fired. So we're about to walk through under the main arch of Richmond Barracks and we're going over to visit what's now the recreation hall of the college but was the original gymnasium, and that's where the officers in the German POW camp were kept. Some of the letters that the men wrote home have survived, and the address given was Turnhalle Barracks, Templemore, and Turnhalle means gymnasium in German. The officers, they seem to have a relatively more pleasant time. The enlisted men were expected to work, so they would have been put on, say, menial tasks in the barracks like cleaning, cooking, painting, picking weeds out of the square. All of the men were allowed out every day, though, for exercise. So the officers would be allowed out to do a walk out to a village called Barnan, a couple of miles away, and do a loop, but it was always under armed escort. There were no reported attempt escapes here. Now, security was very, very strict. There were 300 sentries here. There was 10-foot barbed wire fences. There were machine guns. There were searchlights. The prisoners did wear their uniform, but there were large yellow discs sewn onto their uniforms so that if they did escape, they'd be identifiable as prisoners. And some of the old photographs show those large yellow patches on their backsides and also on the rear of their tunics. Because a lot of the soldiers were skilled tradesmen, they were involved in doing projects in the town. For example, they laid a marquetry floor on the side altar of the Catholic church in Templemore, and that survives today. They also planted the trees that go down the avenue to the church, and also a couple of pieces of what are called trench art have survived. A water bottle, just a little simple tin water bottle and a tin cup. These were hand engraved by the prisoners, two different lots of prisoners, with messages from home and the names of the men that were detained here. And one man has actually written the name of his girlfriend on it as well, just to make the point that he hadn't forgotten about her. On Christmas Eve 1914, the locals heard the men singing Christmas carols, which was a very big tradition, and I'm sure the carols could be heard from well down the town, so it probably drew people up to the barracks out of curiosity. The locals would have stood outside the barbed wire compounds. They would have listened to the men singing carols in their own language, and the prisoners had made wooden toys and gifts and handed them out through the barbed wire to the local people, who in turn handed back in things like cigarettes and chocolate. And there was a nice little bit of humanity right in the middle of the war. The prisoners arrived here late September, early October 1914, but in March 1915 they were moved almost overnight, very, very suddenly. The official reason was given that the barracks were now required for the large numbers of Irishmen joining the British Army to fight in the trenches, but the real reason is far more interesting. The local leader of the volunteers, a man called Pierce McCann, was spotted by the special branch of the constabulary trying to come into the barracks and visit the German prisoners. The plan was that if the volunteers could break the prisoners out of the barracks and arm them with weapons from the German government, courtesy of Roger Casement, that perhaps there might be a second front formed here in advance of the Easter Rising. Now, that was never likely to happen, but obviously that was a huge security concern. So they were moved almost overnight, brought down to the train station, brought to Dublin, then brought to England. When news arrived that the Germans were leaving, the locals were disappointed initially because obviously their concern was the economy. Catering for the garrison here with 2,500 prisoners and 300 guards, it was a huge benefit to the town. But I mean, the Germans were replaced immediately by men enlisting in the Munster Regiment and the Leinster, so Templemore was absolutely thriving until the end of the war.
Templemore, in County Tipperary. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.